Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, October 5th, 2015. A top government official says President Kiir's decision to create 10 more states does not violate the peace agreement.
The agreement says the governor of Upper Nile shall be from the SPLM-AIO. If Upper Nile is divided into 10 states, that same provision will continue to apply on all the new states. The same thing with Unity State and the same thing with Bengali.
And at least one analyst says President's move was unconstitutional.
Well, I think first and foremost, it greatly undermines people's confidence in rule of law in South Sudan. Anyone can make up any argument. However, I think most people who are familiar with the Constitution see a pretty egregious violation of the terms of the Constitution.
We'll have more on these stories coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir has unilaterally decreed that the number of states in South Sudan will be expanded from 10 to 28. Mr. Kiir announced the decision on Friday, drawing an immediate response from Riek Machar's SPLM in opposition, which said the order violates the peace deal both sides signed in August. President Kiir's legal advisor, Lawrence Kurbandi, insists the order creating states does not violate South Sudan's transitional constitution and will not affect the peace deal. Philip Thonaleu reports for VOA from Juba.
Lawrence Kurbandi told diplomats today that the president's decree does not violate the laws of South Sudan. He says members of parliament will be involved in the implementation process, which will take effect after 30 working days.
This is to give a time for the parliament to look at the order as per clause 5 of the authority of this order, or which empowers the president to initiate process of the amendment, constitutional amendment. We have not yet violated our own constitution.
Kurbandi concedes that Article 161 of South Sudan's 2011 transitional constitution defines the country as composed of 10 states, but says that will be changed to 28 states. Article 58 of the transitional constitution states that the Council of States must approve changes in state names, capitals, town, and boundaries. Kurbandi says the creation of 28 states is a step toward establishing a federal system of governance.
It is actually a response to call of our citizens. A member of the Constitution Review Commission, we made some assessments. In Equatoria, there is absolute call for federal system. In Baragazal, the same. In Upper Nile, the same. And you may also recall when I said it is a problem-solving document, and I mentioned the geopolitics of our country.
Kurbandi says by creating 28 states, the government is now opening up debate for federalism during the transitional government of national unity, which he says will be formed in accordance with the peace deal signed by both sides in August. He says creating more states will actually give the opposition more political positions. Information Minister Michael Makwe, who also appeared at the briefing to representatives of various embassies in Juba, says the order will not affect the power-sharing ratios agreed to with the armed opposition.
The agreement says the governor of Upper Nile shall be from the SPLM-AIO. If Upper Nile is divided into 10 states, that same provision will continue to apply on all the new states. The same thing with Unity State and the same thing with Jongole State. So I don't see anywhere whereby we can come and say, we say that the agreement has been violated. Instead, it has been enriched.
Makwe says the timing of the president's decree is in no way connected to the peace deal mediated by regional bloc IGAD and its international partners.
There is no provision in the agreement which ties down the hands of the president not to continue to render services and serve the interests of his people. The president is acting in accordance with the provisions of the law, and there is no time frame which has been set in which the president will be taking whatever decision he wants. The president has decided to take it at this particular moment in good faith, in response to the will of the people.
In the order read on South Sudan Television Friday night, President Kiir criticized his current system of government, which he said was holding the power of the people in the center in Juba, and said there was a need to devolve more power and resources to the states. It is not at all clear whether creating 28 states will give the people more power. Riek Machar's rebel movement had been advocating a federal system of government in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleo in Juba.
A legal expert with the South Sudan Law Society says President Kiir's order to create 18 additional states and reconfigure the existing ones is unconstitutional. David Deng says South Sudan's transitional constitution does not authorize the president to change state borders or create new states. Deng says President Kiir's order also violates the IGAD Plus brokered peace agreement that President Kiir signed in August.
Well, it's actually quite clear in the Constitution that any change to state boundaries or to state names requires the Council of States, which is one house of the South Sudan Parliament, to act. And such decisions cannot be made through executive order.
But how about the executive order itself? My understanding is that the president has the privilege to make executive orders on matters to do with the country.
Yeah, certainly. I think any president has the authority to issue executive orders. However, according to the Constitution, such executive orders cannot be used to change state boundaries or on issues pertaining to decentralization. Indeed, if one thinks about it, the very thought of decentralizing through an executive order, which is itself a centralized decision, is really contrary to the principle of decentralization. So it makes a lot of sense that you would not allow a president to decentralize through an act that further concentrates power in the center.
And what should President Kiir have done to issue this order?
I think the argument that the government was making in the context of the peace talks, the IGAD peace talks in Addis, was quite persuasive. The government's argument was that in order to proceed with federalism and decentralization, the people needed to be engaged, and that the appropriate mechanism for making this sort of decision would be a constitutional development process, a national dialogue, you know, some sort of process that engaged the people around the discussions of what sort of government they would want to have. And indeed, the peace agreement itself is founded on the principle of 10 states. So to change it just a few weeks after signing the agreement really makes a lot of people question whether or not the government is committed to following through on the peace agreement, and also what the implications will be moving forward.
From the legal perspective, what are the implications of his decision?
Well, I think first and foremost, it greatly undermines people's confidence in rule of law in South Sudan. Of course, the government has their argument for why the act is lawful, and until a court were to pronounce itself on the subject, anyone can make up any argument. However, I think most people who are familiar with the Constitution see a pretty egregious violation of the terms of the Constitution. Until a court pronounces itself on the issue, it's just one person's argument against another. I think that also points to the important role of the Supreme Court moving forward and whether they will weigh in on the matter.
And now, suppose I'm not happy with this provisional order, and I would like to challenge it. How do I go about it in South Sudan?
Well, one could open a case challenging the constitutionality of the order. We've seen such similar cases in the past. Recently, when the government decided that they would be holding elections at some point this year, a group of opposition political parties initiated a challenge to that decision. Eventually, the government rescinded the decision, so the case didn't have any cause to move forward. We also had, before the national crisis that we're currently in, we had a situation in which the Secretary General of SPLM had been instructed not to leave the country and not to speak to the press, and other things which he viewed to be an unlawful infringement on his rights. And a lawsuit was initiated challenging that decision as well. So we've seen some efforts made. The Supreme Court has reacted in varying ways. Given the reality of the context in South Sudan, it's often difficult for the judiciary to assert itself against the executive. But nonetheless, we've seen some rather courageous acts from the judiciary. And one would hope that were they given the opportunity that they would rise to the challenge and address this matter as a purely legal issue that it is.
That was David Deng, the Director of Research at the South Sudan's Law Society. He was speaking to me from Nairobi earlier today. Opposition political parties in South Sudan are also questioning the legality of President Kiir's order to create 28 states. They say the president should have consulted more widely with lawmakers and the people, and insist that, contrary to what the government is arguing, the move is not a step toward federalism. VOA fellow Kaltuma Vanessa has this report.
Lama Kol is the leader of the SPLM for Democratic Change and chair of the National Alliance Umbrella Group for Opposition Parties. Akol says he was surprised not just by the presidential order itself, but also by the timing of it and the way it contradicts the peace agreement that Mr. Kiir signed in August.
It comes at a time when people are busy implementing the peace agreement. It is a clear violation of the peace agreement because the peace agreement talks about 10 states, and it is on the basis of the 10 states that power was shared in the peace agreement. Therefore, for one side to come and change the situation is a violation of the agreement.
The peace agreement does mention the existing states by name and refers to a total of 10 states. Akol says Mr. Kiir's order also violates South Sudan's traditional constitution, which clearly states that the National Assembly is involved in certain matters involving changes at the state level.
So if the president wanted to change the boundaries of the states, the names of the states, their capitals, and their number, this, according to Article 162 of the Constitution, should have been done by the national legislature. He hasn't done that.
The minority leader in the National Assembly, Oyoti Adigo, also says the legality of President Kiir's order is questionable. Adigo says Mr. Kiir should have followed the steps outlined in the traditional constitution instead of sidestepping it and literally adding more states and reconfiguring the ones that already exist. Adigo also says the South Sudanese people should have been involved in the decision. The Secretary General of the South Sudan People Liberal Party, or PLP, says the timing of Mr. Kiir's decree was bad. Isaac Natali Lewis says instead of focusing on redrawing the map of South Sudan, Mr. Kiir should have concentrated on fixing the social and economic challenges that many South Sudanese are battling with after 20 months of conflict.
With the situation that we are living with 10 right now, the budget of the country is not enough to fund all the political and all the effort that is being exerted on the ground to create a room for a development. Now we have 18 more states. So I'm not sure exactly where the ruling party is going to create the budget to fund all these activities.
Akol agreed that creating 28 states will be a huge financial burden at a time when South Sudan's economy is already struggling. Akol also flatly rejects the government assertion that creating more states is a step towards federalism.
Federalism is not the number of states. Federalism is the power that is given to each state. So that does not mix apples with oranges. He should just annul his order, so he should just forget about it.
Riek Machar's SPLA in opposition movement called over the weekend for Mr. Kiir to reverse his decision to expand the number of states. Like other opposition groups, the SPLA in opposition say the move is unconstitutional. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Washington.
That report was prepared by Philip Thorna Leu and Waki Simon Wudu in Juba. A South Sudanese analyst says President Kiir's decision to create 18 more states is wrong. Professor Alfred Sebit Lokuji, an associate professor in the College of Community Studies and Rural Development at the University of Juba, says the decision is unconstitutional and complicates implementing the peace deal. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu has more from Juba.
President Kiir's government says the establishment of 18 more states is aimed at bringing services closer to the people. But Professor Lokuji says even though the idea of creating more states is a good one, President Kiir went about it the wrong way.
It's to frustrate the very strong growing demand for federalism of the 10 states. In other words, there should be limited powers all round between levels of government and horizontally. That means between institutions of government. But by doing that, you clearly demonstrate that there is nothing holy anymore about governance and about the constitution and about what any country holds most dear.
Lokuji says the manner in which the president decreed 18 additional states undermines constitutional rule in the country. He says such a move must be done in consultation with the citizens and their elected representatives and fully debated before it becomes a law. Lokuji says Mr. Kiir's surprise announcement contradicts the peace agreement he signed with Riek Machar, which was negotiated on the basis of the current 10 states.
Some people are celebrating. Certainly I'm not celebrating. And I think the reason I'm not celebrating is that I think it simply prolongs our brotherly and sisterly unity of South Sudanese people. Yeah, it sets back the agreement and it sets back the debate that has been going on, especially among those who believe in an orderly, politically logical and systematic way of bringing about changes.
Lokuji says whereas the creation of more states could help bring services near the people, the timing is wrong. He says the government should have focused on implementing the peace deal first.
Let us get this peace agreement behind us. Let us honor it. Let us do what it takes to make it successful, to remove violence away from the lives of the people of South Sudan. Let's do that, and then let us use our legislative processes. We already have something called the National Constitutional Review Commission. If we need to revise that, let's do so. But otherwise, that's the right channel to move on such very monumental topics or issues such as changes of the constitution.
Lokuji says, if anything, the National Constitutional Review Commission should be taking up such a monumental change in the country's system of government. It should not be a unilateral action by the president. For VOA News, I am Waka Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, more fighting is reported in Upper Nile State. Details on that story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you handle a talkative person during a conversation?
You listen to whatever points they think they are putting across. The valid ones you respond to. The non-valid ones you nod and smile.
Well, it depends what you call talkative, because you might be the quiet one and then someone who you think is talkative may just have something to say.
When a person is very talkative, what I do is to try to set a rules to say, you say everything you want to say and you allow me to talk. If not, I'll just keep quiet.
Maybe it's either I keep listening to him or I throw a question that will be quite difficult for him to answer to make him not to talk.
I handle a talkative person by keeping silent or just paying attention to that person.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The government and SPLM in opposition forces are accusing each other of renewed fighting in Upper Nile State's Lare County last Friday. It is not clear if there were any casualties. As VOA fellow Tito Justin reports from Washington, Zakaria Ding, an analyst with the SAD Institute, says the continued fighting is due to a lack of commitment by IGAD and the international partners to implement the peace agreement in South Sudan.
The accusations and counter-accusations came 3 days after both President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar stated they were committed to implementing the IGAD-brokered compromise peace agreement at a UN high-level meeting on South Sudan in New York last week. IGAD last month organized a workshop on transitional security arrangements, as is stipulated in the agreement, to cease hostilities in the country. But SPLA spokesperson Colonel Phil Faguer says at a recent workshop in Addis Ababa, Machar's representatives refused to sign a document on monitoring and verification of the ceasefire. Aguer says IGAD and SPLA in opposition are responsible for answering any questions about new fighting in Upper Nile State.
We have been inviting the so-called monitors, international or IGAD monitors, who are dragging their feet, but they should have been informing Riek Machar that his forces on the ground are the ones fighting. They not only in there, they are preparing to attack SPLA in Malakan town, and this should be known right from now.
South Sudan in focus has been unable to reach the SPLA in opposition regarding Aguirre's accusations. The spokesperson for the SPLA in opposition in Lare, James Yoch, who says he was on the front line of the fighting that occurred on Friday, says Lare is still a contested area between the SPLA in opposition and the government. Yoch says at this time, government forces are in control of Lare town, but the SPLA in opposition forces control the 5 payams of the county. He says the fighting on Friday happened in the payam of Dindin, east of Lare County, which is under their control. Yoch says the civilians are in desperate need of help in Dindin because of the new fighting.
There is a humanitarian crisis in the area because people are not getting food, are not getting medicines, are not getting other services from relief organization.
Zakaria Ding Akol is a police analyst and director for training at the Sud Institute in Juba. Ding says IGAD and other supporters of the South Sudan peace deal did not lay the groundwork to ensure that the fighting stopped.
Both the IGAD and the international backers of this agreement did not really prepare. There are many things that would have been done by now. None of those we say to have been done. So it goes back to how unprepared. Not only the parties, because the parties were not leading anyway in the signing of the agreement.
Ding is calling on all the stakeholders in the country, such as civil society organizations, faith-based groups, and the other political parties, to join the two sides in implementing the peace agreement. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Washington.
And finally, we circle back to President Kiir's decision to create 18 additional states and reconfigure the 10 that already exist. South Sudanese that we spoke to, both in South Sudan and those in diaspora, had mixed reactions.
I'm calling Nyoma Clement. Creation of 28 states in South Sudan, I think that one is just a taking of towns to villages. So people are happy on that.
My name is Agnes. For me, I'm happy of it. It's okay though to divide the state, it's okay. Yeah, of course. They have to create peace among themselves. People have to be united because now each people are going to have their own state.
My name is Lucky Samson. Yeah, creating 28 states. If president really create these states, maybe after that one, maybe some jobs, maybe job opportunities will come out, and then maybe to their citizens also.
James Kenyera, I think that is a good drive towards the transfer of power from the central government to the local authorities, and that one obviously will quicken the delivery of services to the local people.
My name is Michael Yuen Kwan from Australia. To me, I feel like the president had done a good job. This is what a lot of people have been demanding, although sometimes you can argue, is it going to be sustainable economically? I think it's going to be difficult. But I think that is the right decision for the president.
I think it is not bad, but before this state to be announced, it should be justified. Why 28? what was the criteria. Because previously it was announced by Dr. Riak to be 21, and it was justified. But now it became as a sudden to us. But first we need justification.
My name is Maulana Nyangaji Sindeng. I'm really very happy. All this time, the citizens of South Sudan, they were in a position to be given this demand. And we are ready as used to stand behind our president for implementation of peace.
And my name is Arma Chulding. We are very concerned and committed with the decision taken by the president for the creation of 28 states in the Republic of South Sudan. It is important to create 28 states in South Sudan. This one will bring stability of the people of South Sudan.
This is a good initiative by the president, but he took the decision in a wrong time, but we're still even we did not settle many things that he has to put them right. And then he had to take the decision and create the 28 state.
Very good initiative for South Sudan, and I'm also urging the government, the national government, also to facilitate also development of this state, whereby they need to allocate a really budget for every state that they have created. Because most of our resources we have used by then in developing one place. Now I'm given now another place where it is not developed also. They have to see into it that also it come to the level of the other one that we have developed.
My name is Peter McGaibul. Came to U.S. in 2001. I live in Chicago. I think this idea of 28 states, you have to look at it in the context that what problem are we trying to solve here? If you are really thinking about solving the problem, further division is not the solution here, because look at it in this way. You know, where are we going to get the money to sustain this 28 parliament that we are creating, and national parliament, cabinet, and whatever you could name? It is not a, you know, it's not a realistic solution.
It's not a bad idea. But my fear is the fund or the resource of funding all these 28 states, because where are we going to get the money to implement or to support all these states?
Our reporters, Jacob Achek, Dimo Silva Aurelio, and Ayen Bure, collected the audio from Wau, Juba, and the United States. And that brings us to the end of our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Nani Ongere by Colonel Mido.
Nani Ongere.
We have been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Nani Ongere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Why
Moribor.